Okay, let me repeat the question for the sake of recording. I didn't have the recording on here. What the question from Keshava Das is, Saparjaga Chukram Akayam Avranam, the verse 8 seems to be in a different chandas. Is there any significance because of that, the change of chandas? So till now, Ishavasyamidam Sarvam, they are in a different chandas, and Saparjagat is in a different chandas. I really don't know what exactly is the significance because of the change of chandas. If at all some information is indicated in the Bhashyas, I can go through that and tell you later. Okay? Yeah. Looks like prose, but the thing is, it's complex to say because I'm not very sure about if there is a complex chandas hidden here. It looks like very much like a prose because it looks like a sentence because Saparjagate Shukram Akayam Avranam Asna Viram Shuddham Apapa Vidham Kavihi Manishi Puri Buhu Swayam Buhu Yata Tithitoho Arthane Vyadadate Shashvati Bhyaha Samabhyaha. The whole thing looks like just a sentence to me, a clear prose sentence. But if there is a, you know, if there is a complex chandas hidden there, I will have to check that. I can check that because there is some book here which tells me about the chandas also. And I can check that next time and let you know. Okay. Yes, go ahead. What did you say? I didn't understand. Yes. Yes. Very good question. Let me repeat the question for the sake of recording here. So Ramesh asked here, Yatha Tathyataha Vyadadhat. There, Vyadadhat means basically having determined what these actions are, he has explained these actions to the Prajapatis, or declared it for the, prescribed it to the Prajapatis. Does this become a part of, does this become an action regarding that Atman who is actionless or who is supposed to be actionless, right? Is this the question? Yeah. Good question. Right? See, here, what you have to say, right? The only way I can explain this, because in this question has not been, clarified right here in the Bhashya given by Shankaracharya on this verse. But his general trend of answer to this particular question is this. This question comes as very fundamental in many, many Upanishads, just not this Upanishad, that initially Atma is explained to be pure, untouched, not involved in anything and all those things like that. Then suddenly he says, oh, he became a creator. He created all these things. He thought he wants to become many. All these things come. How can action be ascribed to the same person, right? The way this question, in many of the Shankara Bhashya original material, he has basically ignored this issue because he says that who is asking now? You are asking this question, and why are you asking this question? Because you are seeing difference. You see yourself as different from this aspect, ideology, and you're asking this question. So for you, it is just an apparition that Ishvara is just as if the Sarvajna. Ishvara is also finally unreal, right? According to Shankaracharya. So it's not unreal. We should not take it in that sense, because there is, I will explain to you some other time, a little bit later, that how you can see this Advaita as very much almost non-different from a Vishta-Advaita or some other. In a way, they are very similar. So you need to be extremely sensitive to that issue. But all I can say from Advaita perspective says that, look, Atman is declared as actionless. So this whatever Ishvara, who is creator and who is talking to all these Prajapatis to do their jobs about Yajna, Yaga and all this prescription, this whole thing is the work of Ishvara and not of Atman. And Ishvara is a Lord and who is real as long as you meditate on Him and as long as you go. And once you finish all the meditation and everything there, you, Ishvara and everybody will merge into this Atman or will become non-existent because only Atman exists. So all this are relative reality or vyavaharika satya vyavaharika. The term vyavaharika means it is a conventional reality. It's not the right explanation of vyavaharika satya. Vyavaharika satya means transactional reality. How you as an individual transact in this universe, or how all of us will transact and interact in this universe. Something like an interactive reality or something like that. So Atman's declaration to the Prajapati and everything as Ishvara's job. Ishvara is an image of Atman. Ishvara himself is not Atman. So, to give you an ideology here, the same Atman is reflected. Again, this reflection analogy, you cannot use it wherever you want, because where has Shankaracharya used this analogy? We don't know. When I get to that point, I can say whether it is idea of Shankaracharya. Because later on, many other Acharyas in the lineage like Sureshwara and also the other Advaitic Acharyas like Prakash Atma and many, many schools of ideology have come later on. And there are changes in the way they deal with the illusion issue and things like that. But all I can say in one way of looking at Advaita is the reflection theory. The reflection theory states that Atman is the eternal one which is pure, uninvolved in this universe. That Atman is reflected in three different kinds of medium. One is Sattvopadhi, the adjunct which is Sattvic. The other is Rajopadhi, and then the other, that is the Rajoguna of the matter, and then Tamoguna of the matter. The same Brahman, when he is reflected in the Sattvopadhi, he appears as the Ishvara. So that reflection on the Sattvapadi is Ishvara, and the reflection in the Rajopadi is Jiva, and the reflection in the Tamopadi is this universe of matter and all the things which is perceptible things here. So that Atman is taken as in a different plane of reality, different level of reality, and his action as Ishvara, Jiva and the soul, the Ishvara, souls and matter all together are in a different level of reality. But to them, it's the same. And for the person who is realized according to Shankara, he will not realize any of these Ishvara or Jiva or matter will all go away, vaporized like a camphor sublated by fire. Is that clear?
Yeah. So
your question is regarding the work of Atman, right? Work of Prajapati is always, at a different relative reality, right? The work of Atman is the one which is questioned for you, because Atman is considered as non-working and he has no action. And now he says that he dictates or prescribes these kind of activities to the Prajapatis who are named like Samvatsara, right?
Yeah.
See, the action of the Prajapatis and their later actions can be explained very easily because they are relatively unreal and they are all these universal actions.
Yeah, but it's the transaction between the Atman and the Prajapati, that's the problem.
Correct, exactly. And what they say is such a transaction does not occur from the Atman to the Prajapati at all. Such a transaction occurs to the image of Atman, which is Ishvara, to the Prajapatis. So that is why that Ishvara is different from the Prajapatis. And Ishvara is actually telling everybody. And he is the first person and he is the only perceptible idea of Atman in this universe. That's why when somebody goes to a temple and worships the Ishvara of whatever kind, he's only an image or an ideology. See, if you take it further, just to act a different way, an Advaiti can question a Dvaitin, saying that, what are you doing? You're actually having an image in a temple and saying that is Ishvara. Is that really Ishvara? Or in your mind, you're imagining a Rupa or the a form of Lord, whatever that may be, and you are emotionally and spiritually and mentally totally dedicated to that form. Is that form completely, does the image or that form completely describe the entire nature of Ishvara according to your philosophy? It's still an image. So there is this, so I'm not trying to confuse anybody here. And in fact, I want you to be confused, because if you're not confused, you will not come to the next class. Okay, let me repeat the question just for the sake of the record here. The second question from Ramesh is that where can I find a reference to this whenever action is involved, it doesn't refer to the Atman, but it refers to the Ishvara. See, this reference is all over the place. Actually, I need to cite you, but in every different place, it is almost implicitly obvious in some places, but in some places it is explicitly explained. But I have to find you the references. It's all over in Brihadaranyaka, all in every Upanishad, here and there is a mention of that.
Okay.
Okay. Any other question? What's your name, please?
My name is
Okay, I got it. Okay, so your question is, what is transactional reality? Is that what it is?
Yes.
Okay, see, the thing is, we are now again talking about Shankara Bhashya and Shankara's view here. I will just use the word conventional reality just because a number of English authors have used the word conventional reality. See, conventional reality only means relatively one is real related to the other, right? And vyavaharika satyam, vyavahara means transaction. A transaction, you don't take it as a monetary transaction. Vyavahara means usage in life. In life, how you deal with anything around you and how life works as interaction between individuals and matter, animals, everything like that. Okay? This is... let me try to explain to you what this Vyavaharika Satya is. I wish I had an immediate example for that, but I'll try to think of it.
Does it have a beginning and an end?
Yeah, because whenever see the thing is you separate out into two different individuals: a person who is already realized and his person who is not realized. Right? As long as anybody is not realized, he is always immersed inside this vyavaharika satya, the world of relative reality, according to Shankaracharya. And the person who is released doesn't have to came. There is no person because what is released was eternally released. So the body mind intelligence complex evaporated away. How do you explain this? See, for example, let me try to say some Advaitic people, I mean some opponents of Advaita will give a story to explain, right? Says that it seems that there was a rishi or a sage who was telling everybody under a tree in the olden times, dear disciples, let me tell you what is Brahman, what is truth. Brahman is only real and everything is unreal. Okay? So just think that only Brahman is real and there's nothing else in this world. Everything is unreal. Right? Suddenly, the guy comes and says, suddenly he says, teacher, there's an elephant running towards us and is destroying the entire forest here and it's going to come in a minute and look at this, he's already coming. Then the teacher comes and says, oh my God, let us go, everybody. And he doesn't say anything, everybody run without even looking at each other. And after a couple of hours, the elephants go away and then everything is fine. And then the sage comes out and says, oh disciples, where are you? And the disciples will come, oh guru, where are you? Finally, they come back and sit down under another tree. And then the sage says, oh, where was I? What was I telling? Oh, Atman is only real. Brahman is real. There's nothing else which is real. Then this disciple says, then what about this elephant? The elephant came just now. Is it not real? And then he says, of course. The elephant was unreal. No question about that. Then the disciple says, then why did we run, Guru? We ran, helter-skelter. Oh, palayanamapi mithya. You didn't even run. So everything is illusion. What is he trying to say? Relatively, the elephant did come, we ran, fine. All these things is because we are perceiving in this existing reality. And relatively it is real, but on an absolute scale, nothing is real. And all this will be an illusion or a something created out of our minds. This is the idea. This is also known as Drishti Srishtivada. Drishti Srishtivada means this universe exists because you perceive it. Drishti is you see, you perceive, you interact. So the universe exists because of your just involvement in it. If you are not involved in it, the universe doesn't exist. This is the idea of Shankaracharya. I hope I'm making this clear, and it will become clear to everybody why he is saying that and what it is.
Perception is reality.
Yes. Relative reality, right? Yeah. Any other question? Okay then. We will go to the next portion of this because it's complicated here. Atra adhyena mantrena sarvaishana parityagena jnana nishtha ukta prathamo vedartha ishavasyam idam sarvam magradaha kasya sviddhanam iti. So, Shankaracharya is saying, what is the first truth or first ideology said here in Ishavasya Upanishad? What it says, Ishavasya Midam Sarvam means this whole universe is covered up by Isha. Magradaha Kasya Siddhanam, do not go covet other people's wealth. All these things, the first mantra indicated that Sarvaishana parityagena. Ishana means desires. Giving up all desires for putraishana for children, viteshana for wealth, giving up the desire for fame, all the desires give up. And one person that is the highly qualified person should focus on jnana nishtha only. Jnana nishtha is the realization of atma jnana. And that atma the realization is almost like instantaneous, immediate realization. And so only there are only few people like Shuka Maharshi are very, very advanced spiritual people, and they can follow jnana nishtha. Ishavas ayam prathamo vedartha, that is the first meaning of this Upanishad. Ajnananam jijivishunam jnana nishtha sambhave kurvan neveha karmani jijivishet iti karmanishta ukta dvitiyo vedartha. The second aspect of path, first path is jnana nishtha, that means perceiving Atman or experiencing Atman. The second path is karmanishta. For whom is this karmanishta? Ajnananam jijivishunam, for those people who are ignorant, who are basically people who want to live by doing actions. They love to live. They love to continue. For them, jnana nishtha asambhave. The jnana nishtha or focus on Atman is not possible for them. It's impossible for them. Because the very fact that you are involved, or not you, but anybody is involved in action, getting more wealth, all these worldly activities, where is the interest in God? Their interest is not there. Their interest is only in action. For them, karma nishtha is ukta. What is karma nishtha? Karma yoga, which is shastra vihita karma, not any action like going up in the mountains or bicycling or doing exercise, something like that. Not that. Shastra vihita karma, prescribed actions which will eventually purify their mind. This is the karmanishtha's path of action, which is the second Vedamant artha. Anayoscha nishtayoho vibhago mantradvaya pradarshitayoho brihadaranyakepi pradarshitaha. Anayoscha nishtayoho vibhagaha. These two paths and clarification. Let me put you on... Okay, anayoscho nishtayoho vibhago mantradvaya pradarshitaha pradarshitayoho brihadaranyakepi pradarshitaha. The Brihadaranyaka Upanishad clearly also explain these two paths separately in good detail. Sokamayata jayame syat ityadina ajnasya kaminaha karmani iti. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad is cited by Shankaracharya. It says, Sokamayata, that person willed, Jayame Syat, let me have a wife, Ityadina, and all these verses there, they clarified that Ajna means the person who is ignorant, who has desires, he does those actions. That means he gets involved in those actions. Let me read the original Brihadaranyaka here so that it's clear here. I am taking Shankarabhashya in more detail. The only reason is we have to understand Shankarabhashya very clearly. Why am I doing this? There is a traditional view from the Vishishtadvaitins and Dvaitins to summarily reject Shankarabhashya completely. Oh, some people say, Advait, don't even talk to me about Advait. They will be completely averse to this. What I believe is, all these acharyas have to, one has to understand clearly what they are saying, and we should not, we should not summarily reject anything. Otherwise, it won't be correct. So kamayata jaya me swat is in Brihadaranyaka 1.4.17, I think. 1.4.17. Okay, here it is. It says Atmaivedamagra Asit Asi Deka Eva So Kamayata Jaya Mesyat Atha Prajayeya Atha Vittam Mesyat Karma Kurviya Iti Etavan Vai Kamo Atha Nechan Ashnato Bhujo Vindet Tasmat Apyetat Yetar Hyeka Ki Kamayate Jaya Mesya Datha Prajaye Yatha. So it goes on like this. The meaning here is, the verse I read, this, that is the universe having the division of wife, son, etc., was prior to creation, the only one entity, that is Atman. He was of the form of Purusha, and he desired, let me have a wife, so that I may be born as the child, and let me have wealth, so that I may perform rites. Desire is only this much. Even desiring more than this, one will not get more than this. Therefore, even today, even to this day, a person who is single desires, let me have a wife, so that I may be born, and let me have wealth, so that I may perform rites. He considers himself incomplete till he does not obtain each of these four. His completeness comes like this. The mind is his speech. The mind is his self. Speech is his wife. Prana is the child. The eye is human wealth, for he gains wealth through the eyes. The ear is his divine wealth, for he listens through the ears and learns Shruti and Smriti, the unseen, and he hears about the unseen. The body is the instrument of karma, for he performs through the body. So this sacrifice has five factors. The animals have five factors. The Purusha has five factors. All this that exists has five factors. He who knows thus attains all this. This is just an idea, or just a simple translation. I'm not going into deep thing here. A simple translation of mana eva asya atma vagjaya. For agnya means for the ignorant one. In the Upanishad, there are two versions there. One is the Ishvara saying that let me have a wife. Ishvara or Prajapati saying that let me have a wife. Later on, similarly, all the Ajnanis or the ignorant people, again they think, oh, let me have a wife. I am incomplete without a wife. And so all this universe is continuing. The progeny is continuing, and all the things which come with this progeny is continuing. And that is the work for the Ajna only. Ajna is the desire-oriented person and who is ignorant person. Mana eva asya atma vagjaya ityadi vachanate ajnatvam kamitvam cha karmanishthasya nishchitam avagamyate. So, ajnatvam means ignorance, kamitvam and desire. These two are clearly clearly it refers to the karmanishta, and it is very clear that it's only for him. Tatha cha tatphalam saptanna sargaha. What are the effects of that tatphala, or the fruits of such actions? Saptanna sarga. Saptanna sarga means what? Saptanna sarga means all the types of foods are available, or foods are generated because of these kind of actions. What kind of foods? The foods to the devas, which is of the form of Darsha Purnamasa, mind, speech, breathing. Why does mind, speech, breathing come? Because of progeny, all this continue, right? And milk and several things, food, milk, the food for animals, food for people, food for devatas, all these things are generated in these activities. And this is also explained in the Brihadaranyaka. Teshu Atmabhavena Atmaswarupa Avasthanam. People are involved in these activities and they think that is their self. Jayadi Ishanatraya Sanyasena Cha Atmavidam Karmanishta Pratikulyena Atmaswarupa Nishta Yeva Darshita. Here is also clear that one desires wife and other things because it's difficult to do Yajna Yaga this without the help of wife, kids and other people around. Hence, but the one who has given up wife one who has given up desires for money or children or fame, he only is focusing and he knows Atman. And for that person, karma nishtha or action is against, is pratikul, is against his whole purpose in life, against his state of mind, a state of state his life. And he is established completely in Atman. And that is why the Upanishad further says, Kim prajaya karishyamo yesham noyamatma ayam lokaha ityadina. Let me read that verse also from Brihadaranyaka, which is very important verse. 4th chapter. Fourth chapter, 422, I think it is. Okay, here it says, Sava esha mahanaja atma yojam vijnanamaya praneshu yo antar yesho antar hrdaya akashava swasmin chete. It starts like this. And there it says, etadha sma vai tatpurve vidvangam saha prajam na kamayante kim prajaya karishyamo esham noyam atma ayam loka iti. Just I will read simply what that verse means. The great Atman is the controller of all, the ruler of all beings, and the protector of all. He does not become greater by good work, nor does he become smaller by means of bad deeds. He is the ruler of all, and the lord of all beings, and the protector of all. He is the bridge or the setu, and the support of all these worlds, so that they are not mixed with one another, but remain distinct from one another. The seekers of Brahman wish to realize him through recital of the Vedas, sacrifices, charity, and religious austerities associated with fasting. By knowing him alone, one becomes a sage. Wishing for this Brahman alone, ascetics give up their homes and go about the world. The ancient knowers who were devoted to the knowledge about Brahman did not desire progeny. They thought, what are we going to do with children? We who have realized this Atman himself, having risen above the desires for son, the desire for wealth, and desire for the worlds, these sages took up wandering mendicant's life. Since that which is the desire for sons is the desire for wealth, and that which is the desire for wealth is the desire for the worlds, for both these are only desire. This Atman mentioned above can only be described as not this, not this, or not this much, or not this much. It is imperceptible, for it is not perceived. It is undecaying, for it is not decay. It is unattached, for it is not attached. It does not suffer pain or suffer injury. Thoughts of the kind, for this I did an evil act, or for this I did a good act, never overtake a person who know this supreme Brahman, because he goes beyond papa and punya, or sins and good deeds. This is just the idea. I am reading it in thorough detail, in not detail, but it's just that whole verse portion of Brihadaranyaka, because we have to understand where Shankaracharya is coming from, where he separates out two different sets of people. And for him, the idea is karma is incompatible with jnana. This is not the idea according to Ramanujacharya. According to Ramanujacharya and according to Madhvacharya, karma and jnana are compatible with each other. It's like theory and practice. For Shankaracharya, that compatibility is not there. And again, samuchayavada or jnana karma samuchaya is another aspect where Yadava and other kind of some other schools, they said action and knowledge should be always given in 50% each. Equally, one should be engaged in action and engaged in thought. Jnana and karma go hand in hand, equally. But that jnana karma samuchaya vada is rejected by all these three acharyas. Shankaracharya, Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, all of them do not agree with that 50-50% separation. So Shankaracharya only says that jnana and karma are incompatible with each other. Again, we will discuss Ramanujacharya separately, how that becomes Anga Angi Bhava or karma becomes subsidiary to jnana, and how Madhvacharya treats it, they are different actually. Ityadina. Okay, let me finish next paragraph of Shankara Bhashya. That will complete the whole Shankara Bhashya this for this verse. Yetu jnana nishtaha sanyasinaha tebhyaha asurya namate loka ityadina avidvan nindadvarena atmanaha yathatmyam saparjagat etadantaihi antair etadantaihi mantraihi upadishtam. For the jnana nishta or the higher level aspirant, the asurya namate loka, the verse which was said earlier, that means people who are avidvams or ignorant people will go to ignorant people who do not follow the karmas as prescribed by the shastras will go to hell. Atmana, and then by all these things, by denouncing these people, Atma's true nature was explained. Saparyagat ityetadantaihi mantraihi upadishtam. So this saparyagat is this just the verse which we are talking about. Till then, it was the subject was an education for the higher level aspirants to tell them that if the people are going down in the karmanishta, and not the karmanishta but even worse than karmanishta, which is just desire oriented people who are not even following the way it has to be done by the shastras, those are completely wrong. They will go to hell. Tehi atra adhikritaha na kaminaha iti. So all these verses refer to the adhikaris, that means the people who have the right qualification, till the saparjagat verse. Tatha cha shvetashvataranam mantropanishadi atyashramibhyaha paramam pavitram provacha samyak drishesanga drishtam ityadi vibhajya uktam. Tatha cha shvetashvataranam mantropanishadi, in the shvetashvatara upanishad, atyashramibhyaha paramam pavitram, it was very clearly said in the end of Shvetashvatara Upanishad that this wonderful, let me read that also so that you remember this. This is a beautiful verse, 6th chapter 21 verse. Tapah prabhavat deva prasadacha brahmah shvetashvarotha vidvan atyashramibhyaha paramam pavitram provacha samyak rishisanga jushtam. What it says is, the sage Shvetashvatara taught in a supreme manner the supremely sacred truth about Brahman that has been adored by the host of sages like Vamadeva and others to the Paramahamsa sannyasins on the account of the efficacy of his penance and the benign grace of the Lord. So Shvetashvatara taught this to the sages, which is the Brahma Vidya. And this Brahma Vidya should not be said to anybody who is not a disciple or whose mind is not calm. Na aprashantaya datavyam, na aputraya, na ashishyaya cha. A person who is not a son or a disciple should not be given this knowledge. This is the very next verse where it says, na prashantaya datavyam, na putraya ashishyaya vapunaha. So what it says is, this is a special education, special idea taught by Shvetashvatara to only the elite sages of that kind. This clearly says that this Atmajnana is separated out. Ityadi vibhajya yuktam, there is a separation between jnana upadesha and karma upadesha, and that is very clear. Yetu kaminaha, who are the desire oriented people, karmanishtaha, karma kurvanta eva jijivishaha, tebhya idamuchyate andam tamaha ityadi. Those people who love to live by doing actions, they are karmanishtas. For them, andam tamaha pravish, andam tamaha means, the next verse is about andam tamah pravishanti yo avidyam upasate tato bhuyayevate tamo ya u vidyagam rataha. What here it is said is, the next verse, I have to give some introduction here to the next verse, otherwise it will just go on. Okay, Let me finish this paragraph and come back to you so that I hope we are in sync in this here. Ye tu kaminaha karmanishtaha. For people who are desire oriented, they will go to dark hell. That is the next verse, and he is giving the introduction to the next verse already in this verse itself. Let me stop here and ask you a question, see how it. Any questions till now? Is it clear? Okay then. Let me do one thing. Let me go finish up the next paragraph of Shankara Bhashya, which will complete this complete this paragraph, you know, this shloka. Katham punarevam, I'll put you on. Okay, here, katham punarevam avagamyate natu sarvesham iti uchyate. Shankaracharya asks, well, this atmajnana, how can it be determined that this atmajnana is not to be said to other karmanishtas or people who are only capable of doing karma? How can this clear separation be understood? Akaminaha sadhya sadhana bheda upamardena yasmin sarvani bhutani atmaiva abhut vijanataha. It is very clear for those people who have gone beyond desires. Sadhya and sadhana. Sadhya means what? That to be, that the goal which is to be attained. Sadhana means the path to attain it. All these differences between path and goal has been completely powdered and crushed up by this verse. Yasmin sarvani bhutani atmaiva bhuti vijanataha. When, in what, all these beings have become atma itself for the intelligent person. Everything here in this universe has become the atma. In this verse it's very clear that one, for the superior person, atma jnani, Where is the work? Where is the shoka or moha? Where is the sorrow or ignorance which is the cause of this universe? So activities are in this universe and he doesn't have to be even there. Tatra ko mohaha kashokaha ekatva manupashyataha. He doesn't have any illusion or sorrow. He is completely focused and established in that one. Yada atmaikatva vijnanam muktam tat na kena chit karmana jnanantarena va yamudaha samuchishishati. A person who is not mad or stupid is not going to combine the pure atmajnana with any kind of actions. Where is this combination? This combination is irrelevant. Whether the combination with another type of upasana jnana or meditation jnana, which is like focusing on a Ishvara and then meditate on that person, this meditation or any yajna yagadi type of actions, all these are incompatible with atma jnana, which is the self-established truth. Then why is it that the Upanishad, that is the Ishavasi Upanishad in the next two or three shlokas, is going to indicate to you that karma and jnana should be done together? The combination of karma and jnana is indicated here in the next three verses. Why is that? Yehatu samuchichishya avidvan ninda avidvan avidvadadi ninda kriyate. But there is a reason for it. Here they are denouncing the ignorant people, and that is why they are saying you can combine both and do it for a particular purpose. Tatracha yasya yena na samuchaya sambhavati nyayataha shrashvato va tadiha uchyate. So is there a legal or a correct way to understand this combination of jnana and karma which is indicated in the next three verses? Yes, there is. Since the Upanishad itself says, okay, you have to combine jnana and karma, only a person who combines jnana and karma is the right person. Only who combines vidya and avidya and then participates in this universe or takes up the path, he is the right person. Upanishad very clearly says in the next three shlokas like this. Then if, since it is saying like this, There should be a different meaning for the word vidya or jnana. There should be a different meaning for the word karma. So let us look into it. Taddhaivam vittam devata vishyam jnanam karma sambandhitvena upanyastam na paramatma jnanam. Whatever is said in the next shlokas, which says vidya, is only daivam vittam, the divine wealth, or the devas, or the Indra, Rudra, all these devatas are there, right? The wealth related to that devas. That issue is said in combination with the karmas or the yajna yagadis. It is not about the jnana of atma jnana or the supreme realization of supreme knowledge of the paramatma or atman. For Shankaracharya, it's only atman. So atman. So this, the next three verses does not indicate anything about the Ishavasya, Upanishad's main idea, that atma issue at all. This is for the, this is about the deities. The lower deities, and knowledge of the lower deities and the karma should be combined together. So that is not the issue. Vidyaya devalokaha. In the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, it is very clearly said, Vidyaya devalokaha. 1.5.16. I will read a little bit about it, that way you know where it is said. Okay, it says, Atha trayo vava loka, manushya lokaha, pitra lokaha, deva lokaha iti. So yam manushya lokaha putrenaiva jayyo nanyena karmana, karmana pitra loko, vidya deva loko, deva loko vai deva lokanam, shreshtas tasmad vidyam prasham santi. What it means here is, there are three worlds, the world of men, the world of mains, or the pitras, and that is the dead people, and the world of the gods. This world of man is to be won through sun alone, through, and not by any other right. The world of means is to be gained, or the Pitraloka is to be gained through the rites, and the world of the gods through meditation. The world of the gods is most celebrated, and therefore they praise meditation. Devaloka. This is the Devaloka indicated here in or this is the deva, or the deity is indicated in the next few verses. So don't confuse the next few verses with the initial idea of this Upanishad. Iti prithak phalashravanat tayoho jnana karmanoho iha ekaika anushtana ninda chamuchichishaya na ninda parayeva. So thing is, the karmas are denounced in the next verse, are saying that, you know, only person who is focused only on karma will go to hell, and a person who is focused on karma, on jnana alone, is going to go to darker hell, deeper hell. But a person who is going to combine karma and jnana together is the right person. He knows what it is. This is what is the idea of the next three verses. So Shankaracharya is giving an introduction here. Ekaikasya pratak alpa pratak pala shravanat vidya tadaro hanti. So through vidya they get this according to Shatapata Brahmana. Vidyaya devalokaha natatra dakshinayanti. So the vidya will devaloka is those people go to devaloka, and the dakshina people, the people who goes on the southern path, will not go there. Karmana pitralokaha. From the karmas you go to, you get the pitraloka. So that is the loka of the pitras, or the means. Nahi shastravitam kinchid akartavyatam iyat. So the shastras have clearly described, prescribed combined action and knowledge for only certain purpose of attaining pitraloka and devaloka and all those things. These are unrelated to the Atma, or the subject, or the Atman, or a Brahman of the Ishavasya Upanishad, according to Shankaracharya. This is the summary, this is the idea of Shankarabhasha on the Saparyagat verse. I'll open this up for some questions if you have any. Already we're getting late, but it's we still can handle some questions if you have. So any questions here? Okay. think about this, and then we will get next week we will have again, and by next week I'll send you all the information. And thank you very much. Asmat Guru Bhyo Namaha, Asmat Parama Guru Bhyo Namaha, Asmat Sarva Guru Bhyo Namaha, Sarvam Shri Krishna Arpanamastu.